Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. As always, the number to dial to get your questions answered live on the broadcast, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265, our contact information on the web, equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Will go right to the phone calls. Again, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. But I've got to get something off my chest before I go to the calls. I was listening to Joyce Meyer. She talks about, and these are her words, how vital it is for us to understand that it is illegal for Satan to put sickness on us, and there's no good reason to let him do it. She says it was illegal for Satan to kill Jesus, but he was able to do it because Jesus allowed him. Why? Because Jesus, she says, was going to use Satan's illegal action to bring salvation to the world. So it's illegal for Satan to bring sickness on us, and we must stand against it. She even went on to say, the moment we begin to recognize the symptoms of sickness, we need to stand against them. We need to resist them in the same way we resist the temptation to sin. How? By the pretext that by his stripes we are healed. As she put it, I believe by the stripes of Jesus I am healed. Now that refrain is sung over and over and over again in the pseudo-Christian world. And few people today have the discernment skills to recognize that context is missing. A quick look at the context of that passage, by the way, it's Isaiah 53:5, makes it absolutely clear that Isaiah had spiritual rather than physical healing in mind. Jesus, says Isaiah, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Transgressions, iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now, of course, Peter built on that understanding. In the New Testament, he wrote, Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness by his wounds. You have been healed. While healing for the body is not referred to in this passage, it is referred to in the verse preceding this passage. There Isaiah wrote, surely he took up our infirmities, he carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. Physical healing is here not only very clearly in context, but it is also affirmed by the Gospels where it is given an important qualification. Here's the qualification. This is what we read in Matthew. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to Jesus, and he drove out all the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This, says Matthew, was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. Thus, and here's the takeaway, thus the healing Isaiah spoke of was fulfilled during the ministry of Jesus Christ, but his prophecy does not guarantee healing today. Now, healing is provided for in the atonement, but it's not guaranteed. And I should also note that in a real sense, Christ's atonement on the cross does extend to physical healing, because one day there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. As Paul points out, we hope for what we do not yet have. We wait for it patiently. And as we wait, we will all experience sickness and suffering. Indeed, those who are alive before Christ returns will all die of their last disease. The death rate is one per person. We're all going to make it. I've written about this in an entry in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. It is available for your support all this month. You can check it out on the web at equip.org, and you can give there in a safe, secure fashion. As mentioned, all this month, for those who transition from being occasional givers to being regular monthly givers, be pleased to send you a personalized copy to you, a family member, or a friend. Again, check it out on the web at equip.org. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Mike listening in California. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
Good, good. Hey, I have a question. I think it was your most recent Christian Research Journal. It might have been the previous one. There was an article that mentioned, it was an article about Christian rap and hip-hop, and unfortunately, I'm not able to get the Christian Research, but I'm a huge fan of Christian rap. It's mostly what I listen to. I was just curious if you could kind of maybe give me some bullet points on what that article was about.
Well, I'd be happy to send you a copy of the article, but one of the things that's noted here is that the popular Christian hip-hop is actually beginning to move away from the biblical principles that not only gave it liberty, but also power and philosophical grounding. And one of the things that, even apart from the article, I would say about this that's important to realize is that we have a number of categories that are all perfectly acceptable. The Apostle Paul urges us to sing to one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. And singing psalms, of course, is a magnificent means for intercession, for instruction, and even for internalizing Scripture. And then the great hymns of the faith have stood the test of time. They're rich in theological tradition and truth. But having said that, spiritual songs communicate the freshness of our faith, and that includes Christian hip-hop. It is crucial, therefore, in my view, that we preserve both a respect for our spiritual heritage and a regard for contemporary compositions. But here's the deal. So many people involved in hip-hop, and this is me speaking, not the article speaking at this point, but I'm sure this coheres with the article, but there's so many people involved with Christian hip-hop that don't have Christian grounding. They don't understand the Christian worldview. And as a result of that, what you end up buying into is the values of the culture. You're brought into, well, instant gratification, intellectual impatience, ahistorical immediacy, the incessant novelty that bogs our faith down and causes us to be cultural conformists rather than those who, in truth, are changing the culture.
Okay, great. I would really like to receive that article. I'd love to read it. One other really quick question is, do you guys have any, would you have any suggestions? I'm looking to begin to teach an apologetics type course to outgoing seniors in the youth group at my church with the help of my youth pastor. And I was wondering if you knew of any sort of teaching material of anything like that. Do you know of anything?
Sure. If you hang on, we can put you in touch with that. But here's a really quick suggestion. The three major apologetic issues that I would focus on, the first being the issue of origins, how one views their origins ultimately will determine how they live their life. So this is the crucial apologetic issue. The second issue is simply biblical literacy, demonstrating that the Bible is an infallible repository for redemptive revelation, and then also being able to demonstrate that Christ indeed rose from the dead. Without the resurrection, there is no Christian faith. That's our hope. Christianity doesn't give us a peaceful way to come to terms with the maladies of life. It gives us something far greater, a way to overcome them through the power of resurrection. So those are the three crucial apologetics issues. I've written books on all three. Plus, I've done flip charts, and that's what's very, very cool. They're flip charts. They're 4x6. They're laminated, and they're bullet points. So they're very, very easy to teach from.
Great. I would really appreciate that, and I couldn't agree with you more on those three points. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Nice talking to you. Back to the phone lines. Tammy next, listening in Kansas. Hi, Tammy.
Hey, hey. Thanks for taking my call. I hope you can understand me. All right. I'm battling a cold right now. My question is, I've seen several atheists bring up dinosaurs and the fact that they're not mentioned in the Bible specifically. They use that as a way to discredit creation as opposed to evolution. Just wondering if you can give me some references to use for that, or if it isn't mentioned at all in the Bible. My feeling is if something isn't mentioned in the Bible, there's a reason it's not there. It's because we don't need to worry about it, but that isn't obviously a good enough answer for them. So I'm going to hang up, and anything you can give me on that would be fantastic, and I appreciate everything you do.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I think one of the things we have to recognize is that the Bible is not intended to teach us anything about dinosaurs specifically. Ultimately, what do we have in the Bible other than the first 11 chapters, which kind of catch us up and give us the kind of large macro issues? The rest of the Bible's God's unfolding plan of redemption, God calling Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, the unfolding progression to the point where Jesus Christ appears. And so the Bible is not a chronological account of what happened in creation. It's chirological. It is communicating God's purposes in creation. Nowhere, I would contend, in the Bible is there any mention whatsoever of dinosaurs. There are people that would say, I find dinosaurs in the Bible in passages like Job 40 and Job 41 with Behemoth and Leviathan, but I don't think that's really what's going on in Job. In fact, the literary progression there moves from creation to creatures to the cherub, who was once ranked first in the order of creation, speaking, of course, of the devil. And so what Job is doing is he is moving to the communication at the end about the devil, and he says the devil ultimately is like a lion on a leash, the length of which is determined by the Lord. In the literary progression of the Bible, the monster is vanquished, and very much like Isaiah said, Leviathan, the gliding serpent. Not a dinosaur, but the gliding serpent, Leviathan, the coiling serpent. God will slay the monster of the sea. So it has to do with Satan and not with dinosaurs. So if you want to find out about dinosaurs, and they are as real as the skin or flesh upon your bones, you're going to find information out about dinosaurs not in special revelation, but rather in general revelation. Dinosaurs, according to the fossil record itself, first appeared during the Triassic period, about 231 million years ago is sort of the estimate or the consensus today. And the last dinosaurs died out about 65 million years ago at the end of a period where you had a mass extinction likely triggered by a comet or an asteroid, various opinions or theories on that. So dinosaurs roamed the Earth long before human mankind was created. But God created dinosaurs just like he created humankind. That's one of the things we find when we get to the 7 days of creation, the 6 days of creation and the day that God rested. What we get there is a hierarchy of creation so that in the end, we can remember God's purposes in creation during the normal cycle of everyday living. I've written about this in the Creation Answer book, one of the books available for your support of the ministry. Again, you can find it on the web at equip.org or write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, our resource consultants are standing by, the number 888-7000 and the letters CRI. By the way, when you go to the web, check out the Christian Research Journal. It's our award-winning magazine. You can subscribe online in a safe, secure fashion. Also, the newsletter. You can subscribe. It's free of charge. You can also download the CRI app. Just go to equip.org/app. Be right back with more answers.
Hank Hanegraaff is convinced that the increase in our national social woes, now reaching alarming heights, can be correlated to what is a decades-long decline in biblical literacy. To help reverse this trend, Hank wrote the Complete Bible Answer Book. And now, he'd like you to have a copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Although superficial similarities exist between the Law of Moses and the Law of Muhammad, profound differences abound. The article, Five Differences Between Sharia and Old Testament Law, shows why Christians who condemn ISIS-style beheadings, sexual exploitation of women, and oppression of religious minorities are not being hypocrites. Other topics include the theological vision of Pope Francis, Christian hip-hop, death with dignity and the Imago Dei, bears gone wild, responding to attacks on the portrayal of God in the Old Testament. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. In an age in which more and more people are apparently inclined to major on the minor, C.S. Lewis wisely guides our focus to mere Christianity. The book Mere Christianity came from talks given by Lewis on BBC Radio during World War II. Many were questioning their traditional faith or seeking a faith they could rationally embrace. So Lewis presented and defended the distilled essence of the faith, what he referred to as mere Christianity. His message speaks to us with profound relevance today, as growing numbers of Americans witness the fabric of society fraying amidst terrorist attacks that jolt our sensibilities, from Paris to San Bernardino. To receive your copy of Mere Christianity as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard 24/7 through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his new black leather-bound, silver-embossed, complete Bible answer book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much. Randy, if you like the old answer book, the new complete Bible answer book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated, you're going to love it. It's a larger book. It is absolutely a keepsake, 50 new entries available for your support. And for those who join the monthly support team, be pleased to personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. I've been mentioning this all month, but we are trying to set a new record, not for the sake of setting records, but for the sake of the gospel, a new record of people joining the monthly support team. When you give electronically, it saves you time and postage. Consider that. And you can use a credit card, a debit card, or an EFT. Go to the web, equip.org/donate, and please consider joining us, standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Hayden next, listening in Missouri. Hi, Hayden.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question.
You're welcome.
I had a question regarding the Syrian refugees, because I have many friends who I know to be devout followers of Christ, and to them they seem to believe that it's somehow not following Christ's command to love your neighbors if we don't let them in. And I see that as a very misconstrued view of what Christ's command was, seeing as it's been proven that these refugees are a method that ISIS has used in the past.
Yeah, I think what's important is for us to make a separation from what the government is supposed to do and what we're supposed to do as believers. The government is supposed to secure our borders and keep people safe. But as Christians, we are called to give the piece of bread, the drink of water in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then propagate the gospel throughout the world. Now, what's interesting about the Syrian refugee crisis is that everyone's jumped on the bandwagon. It's popular now. It's hip. But this crisis has been going on for a long time. I mean, you can go back to 2011. No one was talking about the crisis back then, but it was an incredibly large crisis back then. Same thing with Ebola. It took a nurse getting sick in Africa to bring our consciousness to the Ebola crisis. And then all of a sudden it becomes hip to talk about Ebola, mostly because we think it threatens us in some way. And as Christians, the responsibility is for us to use our lives where we are planted to make a difference. And that does not of necessity mean that we open our borders to a million immigrants like Angela Merkel did in Germany. The truth of the matter is this. There are people in our cities around you where you live and around me where I live that need help desperately. And we need to grow where we are planted. We need to be the arms and legs of Christ where we are. I mean, I think about the people in social services when we adopted three children. We saw the tens of thousands of children desperate for a home. So there's so much that we can do in our country, and we have to do what we can do within parameters. We can't do everything, but we can be a drop of water in the pond exactly where we live. I mentioned I have 12 children. If I adopted 12 more children, and now I had 24 children, the infrastructure of my family would fall apart. And I think that from a political standpoint, an economic standpoint, we have to recognize that approaching a $20 trillion debt, we have limitations on what we can do. It's unfortunate, but part of the problem is because we have created ineffective bureaucracies. And so the money really doesn't trickle down to the people that need it, even in our own country. But the basic principle is on the political spectrum, the president, the leaders of our country are called to keep the citizens safe. From a spiritual perspective, so now I'm not talking about the city of man, I'm talking about the city of God. We're called to make a difference wherever God gives us an opportunity to make a difference. And it is not just in bringing refugees in, it's bringing the gospel out. There are lots of people that can be reached where they are with the gospel. And quite frankly, we ought to think about the fact that of the Syrian refugees that were Christian, 1.1 million, almost 700,000 to 800,000 have been exiled or executed, some crucified. The Muslims have a fairly safe zone in the Levant, but Christians do not. And we should care about that as well. So I think what we need to do is be wise as serpents, gentle as doves, know what we're doing ultimately before the Lord, asking the Lord what He would have us do, either through using our resources, using our prayers, or getting our hands dirty in the needs that are so prevalent in our society. Because one day we're going to stand before Him and give an account for what we did in the flesh. That's one of the reasons I ask people to stand with His ministry shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. We'll go back to the phone lines, talk to Joe in Washington, KCIS. Hi, Joe.
Hello, Hank. Thank you. I've been listening to you since summer, and I'm really blessed by your show. The thing that blesses me the most is when you take time from time to time to actually pray for people. I can't wait for your book about Islam to come out. That's something I've been aware of for a while. But that's not my question. I had two Jehovah's Witnesses come to my door this morning, and I was quite prepared for them, which kind of surprised them. They really got hung up on Jesus kind of like being the last Adam, and they kept on asking me, like, whose place did Jesus take on the cross? I said, all of us. And they go, are you sure? And they seem to agree, but then they think it was only Adam's that he took the place of Adam. So where are they coming from?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest problem with the Watchtower organization is a failure to recognize that Jesus is the creator of all things. They believe that God created Jesus, and then Jesus became a junior partner in the creation of all other things. And to make their point, they tamper with the biblical text. And that, of course, is a great, great travesty. What I think is critical for all of us to recognize is that, yes, it is true that Jesus is the last Adam. And in the progression of history, the first Adam fell into a life of perpetual sin, terminated by death. The woman Eve was deceived. But what happens in the unfolding of Scripture is you find a woman who conceives. Yes, the last Adam, but the one who alone can do what we could not do. Live the perfect life. And he offers us his perfection in exchange for our sin. So the Watchtower Organization, when you're dealing with them, you always have to stick with the main and the plain thing, and that is, just to put it succinctly, the mother of all questions, who do you say that I am?
Yeah, I brought that up there about, you know, Jesus saying he definitely was God. I showed him from, you know, John chapter 8 and other places, you know, when he going to get stoned. He's not getting stoned for miracles, but because he makes himself equal to God. And, you know, I know what they believe in. I know they don't have a correct translation, but, yeah, it just puzzled me why they just wouldn't get off the second Adam topic or whatever.
Sure, their paradigm only allows them to see what their paradigm allows them to see, and it's important for us to recognize that doing what you are doing is a model for all of us. It is a model of recognizing that if you're an equipped Christian, and I can tell by the prologue to your question and your other comments that you are, if you're an equipped Christian, God will give you opportunities. Now, it is sometimes very, very frustrating because you see someone that you would desperately like to see come to faith in Christ, and you just don't see it happen. But remember, what you are doing right now with the Jehovah's Witnesses that you are witnessing to is you are sowing seeds. And I've told this story before in the Bible Answers Men broadcast, but it's never left my mind. A Jehovah's Witness that I dealt with for years. And I used to think to myself, this person is unreachable. In fact, I used to say under my breath, this person is incorrigible. But what happened was very, very interesting. I didn't convert that Jehovah's Witness. I was frustrated in the process. Many years later, I was speaking somewhere, and the Jehovah's Witness came up to me. He was no longer a Jehovah's Witness. He had become a Christian. I had planted some seeds. Someone else had watered the seeds. God had given the increase, and that person had become a believer, and not only a believer, but now someone in a church teaching other Christians how to witness to the witnesses. So do not get weary in your well-doing. Thank you so much for modeling the passion to reach out to those who are trapped in a very insidious cult. I, by the way, have written about the witnesses in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. When you get your copy, for your support, 100% of the proceeds, not 99%, 100% go to this ministry. And you can get your copy on the web at equip.org for your gift, or you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also just talk to one of our resource consultants. Pick up the phone, dial 888-7000. And the letters, CRI, and for those who join the monthly support team, we're trying to get as many people as possible to consider not only giving occasionally, but transitioning to being monthly support team members, and many of you are. For those of you, I'd be pleased to personalize a copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, to you, a family member or a friend. You can give electronically. That'll save time and postage. You can use a credit card, a debit card, an ETF, or an EFT, I should say, electronics, funds transfer, whatever you do, please be generous and join me in standing shoulder to shoulder with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach in the battle for life and truth. Be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions.
How should Christians respond to the LGBTQ community? What about Easter celebrations? Should Christians fear death? Is soul sleep biblical? What about the millennium? These and many more are the questions answered in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated by Hank Hanegraaff. Receive Hank's revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI.
or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. In an age in which more and more people are apparently inclined to major on the minor, C.S. Lewis wisely guides our focus to mere Christianity. The book Mere Christianity came from talks given by Lewis on BBC Radio during World War II. Many were questioning their traditional faith or seeking a faith they could rationally embrace. So Lewis presented and defended the distilled essence of the faith, what he referred to as mere Christianity. His message speaks to us with profound relevance today, as growing numbers of Americans witness the fabric of society fraying amidst terrorist attacks that jolt our sensibilities, from Paris to San Bernardino. To receive your copy of Mere Christianity as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Frugal, transparent, and down-to-earth, Pope Francis is one of the most popular public figures. But what about his theological vision? Although he doesn't seem to be pushing a dogmatic Roman Catholic outlook, he nonetheless has his own dogmatic certainties, and they are not what one may expect. Other topics include five differences between Sharia and Old Testament law, Jonathan Cahn's American Revelation, reason, truth, faith, and literary imagination, literature as apologetics, humanity crucified, Hemingway, and the human condition. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. In The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien's character Faramir voices the thoughts of countless soldiers throughout history. War must be, while we defend our lives against a destroyer who would devour all. But I do not love the bright sword for its sharpness, nor the arrow for its swiftness, nor the warrior for his glory. I love only that which they defend. If you too love what together we defend, our faith, biblical truth, and our freedoms, become a member of CRI's support team today by calling 888-7000-CRI. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his new black leather-bound, silver-embossed Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated. If you liked the old edition, you're going to love the new one. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's 888-7000-CRI, or simply visit our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Nell listening in Richmond, California, KDIA. Hi, Nell.
Hey, Hank.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. My question is regarding fasting. I am trying to grow my walk with the Lord, and I pray, I read my Bible, I go to church, and it was mentioned to me that fasting is also part of that, and I was, could you explain to me what that would inquire and what it would be. And to tell me about it, please. Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, the primary purpose of fasting is to experience God as the source and the substance of life that is life indeed. It is to taste the heavenly manna. It is, so to speak, to drink divine water so that we will never thirst again. It is to recognize union with Christ as the apex of human existence. And, you know, you think about what Paul said. We all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. As we behold Him, we become what we are designed to be, Christians, growing in His image and being transformed into His likeness. So we fast from food so that we can feast on God. But there are many other reasons that I could add to the list, including those who have fasted to stay God's hand of judgment. And certainly we see biblical examples of that. But we also see examples of that in American history. And I'll give you one since you asked the question. You think about America in the midst of the Civil War and Lincoln calling all Americans to participate in a national day of humiliation, fasting, and prayer. And his words were epic. He said, we've grown in number, we've grown in wealth, we've grown in power, we've grown as no other nation has ever grown, but we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace, which multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we, in our vain imagination, think that we have, through some superior wisdom and virtue of our own, done all of this. So here we are, intoxicated with unbroken success, and we have become self-sufficient. We're too proud to pray, too proud to fast. And therefore, Lincoln, saying that it behooves us to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins and to pray for clemency and forgiveness, he called the American people to fast. This was back in 1863, I believe. 1863, he calls people to fast. And this was a proclamation of the president at the request of the Senate. Imagine how different our country is today. You couldn't imagine something like that happening today. But just as our country has evolved, as it were, from fasting, I think many individuals have as well, and it is one of the disciplines of the Christian faith through which we can partake of the graces that are so graciously offered to us, many different ways in which we can experience God's grace, but this is certainly a very significant one, and one we should be involved in partaking. And I'm actually writing about this in a book when I get my Islam book done. I have another book coming out, and one of the subjects that I broach is fasting. Hopefully that helped. I think I lost our caller. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jason, Hot Springs, Arkansas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jason. Hello, Jason. I guess Jason is not there. We'll go to Ben in St. Louis, Missouri, Bot Radio. Hi.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well, too. It's good to talk to you.
Likewise.
I had a question, and I apologize. I have some children in the background. But
love to hear it. They're welcome.
They're beautiful children.
Let them cry.
So my question was sort of related to the Trinity. I believe I've, you know, kind of understand the way you explain it, that the Father and the Son are unique. They're different. My question is the deity between the Father and the Son unique and separable?
No, inseparable. I mean, when we talk about the Trinity, remember we're fiercely monotheistic. We only believe in one God. When we talk about one God, we're talking, of course, about the nature or essence of God. But when we talk about persons, we're talking about identity formed and completed on the basis of relationships within the Godhead. The way I like to explain it is one what and three whos. But this is something we apprehend in Scripture, something that we cannot fully comprehend, and I would assert that we will not fully comprehend this even in eternity. We will grow and learn more and more about the infinite God that saved us by His grace. But what Scripture reveals to us is one God revealed in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they are eternally distinct. So the Father doesn't become the Son doesn't become the Holy Spirit. They're eternally distinct. We can talk about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as one in terms of the economy, but in terms of we can't talk about in terms of we can talk about them that way in terms of our experience of God, but we can't talk about that in terms of God just being one. That the Father becomes the Son becomes the Holy Spirit. There are eternally self-distinctions within the Godhead.
Okay, and so the deity portion of it, I guess my question is, if there's some, you know, some explanation that one, so if Jesus is God and yet he refers to the Father, he says my God. How can one God have a God if there's only one inseparable? When in several passages, Jesus actually says that he has a God when he refers to the Father.
Well, remember, Jesus also said, I and the Father are one, but Jesus is speaking in the incarnation from the perspective of his humanity, and therefore from the perspective of his humanity, he can pray to God. From the perspective of his humanity, he can say, I don't know the time of my coming in judgment. I don't know the day or the hour. He did prophesy that it would be within a generation. So Jesus Christ in the incarnation voluntarily veiled the prerogatives of divinity without divesting himself of a single attribute of deity. So there, on the one hand, Jesus voluntarily took on the form of a servant. On the other hand, he did exercise divine prerogatives. For example, he had the power to lay down his life and take it up again. But this is all part and parcel of recognizing that Jesus in the incarnation is Theanthropos, the God-man. He's one person with two natures, 100% human, 100% divine. Now, there's a mystery there, just as there is a mystery with respect to the Trinity. I can't explain that to you in the sense that you will ever comprehend, because I don't comprehend it myself. I apprehend it, and I bow my knee before God's revelation of himself to me.
Sure, and that sort of adds to my question. So last weekend I spent several hours just studying and reading through the book of Revelation. And in Revelation, this is a vision of Jesus in heaven, and even then he says, in Revelation 3:2, he says, I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. And then down in 12, I believe it's 12, he actually says, my God, the temple of my God. He says it four times while he's still in heaven in the book of Revelation. And so I thought that, you know, that the humanity portion could come into play, but when it continues to show up in Revelation, I still see Jesus in heaven having a God and claiming that he has a God too.
Yeah, I think what's important for us to recognize that in the ascension, Jesus Christ sat on the right hand of the Father, which is to say, he was exalted to complete completeness of his power. He had finished his earthly course. However, having said that, he is forever Theanthropos, the God-man. Jesus Christ is forever one person with two natures. That will never change even when we encounter him in eternity. And do remember, Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. So he's speaking to seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult, but he is speaking as the the Anthropos, the God-man, though he is exalted to glory. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Kurt in Pennsylvania, Sirius XM 131. Hi.
Hello, Mr. Hanegraaff. Thank you for your ministry, and I want to thank you that our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will look you in the eye one day and say, well done, sir.
Oh, that's glorious. Thank you.
My question is very related to the prior question. I wanted to get your opinion on the work of Mr. Anthony Buzzard, who wrote a book entitled The Doctrine of the Trinity, Christianity's Self-Inflicted Wound.
Yeah, I mean, this guy unfortunately did not follow what happened with the Worldwide Church of God under Joseph Tkach Jr. In fact, Joseph Tkach Jr., who is the pastor general of the Worldwide Church of God, wrote a book titled Transformed by Truth. I wrote the foreword to that book. He recognized that Armstrong's teachings were heretical, and they were just flat wrong, particularly when it came to the person and work of Jesus Christ and the nature of God. So he changed. He realized that he needed to come from cultism to Christ. But unfortunately, Anthony Buzzard, who founded Restoration Fellowship and was trained under Herbert W. Armstrong's Ambassador College of the Worldwide Church of God, by the way, I did their very final commencement address. He continues to deny the doctrine of the Trinity. He says the God of Israel is one person, certainly not three. Jesus did not deviate one inch from the unitary, non-Trinitarian monotheism of Israel. He denies the deity, the eternality of the Son of God. He denies the personality of the Holy Spirit, and on it goes. So this is a guy who is philosophically driven rather than biblically driven. He's refashioned Christ in an image that he can comprehend. But I think it's much better to be biblically driven and simply fall on our knees before God's self-revelation to us. I'm going to have to leave it at that. We're out of time for this week's broadcast. I'm going to be right back here Monday, Lord willing, with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In the meantime, please pray for this ministry, support this ministry. Stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Without you, I can't do what I do. Together, we can do a lot. For time and for eternity. See you next week.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. C.S. Lewis wrote, "The great difficulty is to get modern audiences to realize that you are preaching Christianity solely and simply because you think it is true. They always suppose you're preaching it because you like it. Now, a clearly maintained distinction between what the faith actually says and what you would like it to have said forces your audience to realize that you are tied to your data just as the scientist is tied by the results of the experiments, that you are not just saying what you like. This immediately helps them realize that what is being discussed is a question about objective fact.
To receive your copy of Mere Christianity as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.